so it is week two of our stewardship program, and I'm really happy that you could come join us. It is that time of year where we really are seeding our future, and that's what we've decided to call the program from here on out, for perpetuity, for years into our future. And we are looking at this idea of using the term LEAF as an acronym. So last week we talked about love. This week we're talking about expectation. Next week we will be talking abundance. And on the final week, our theme will be faith. And as we put these all together, what we see is this beautiful way we are seeding our future, that there's this natural cycle of life, you know, that trees fall off in the fall, but we can clearly put them back on the tree. We have all kinds of prayer is so powerful, right? So you'll see that we have 11 leaves on our tree. Our goal is to get 50 leaves on this tree, and each leaf has a name. So when you turn in your intention card, we will then that week make a leaf just for you and add it to the tree. And we want 50 leaves, and that should be really easy. We're a congregation of about 120 members, and so we think we can easily make 50. And in fact, our financial goal is that we achieve a pledge of $85,000. That's what we're hoping to base our budget on. Now, that is not what it costs us to run this church. We have a mortgage-free church because the people that came before us loved us so much they paid $600,000. They paid off our mortgage. Yeah, yeah. And what's that? Were you here? Oh my gosh, you guys were here? Anybody else that was here then? Just the Moores. Well, how wonderful, how splendid that you can really sit and feel that excitement that we're still appreciating that good gift. But I wanted you to know that it also costs us around $150,000. That's what our expenses were last year, just to keep the doors open and to keep the place running smoothly. So the reason we take time to do this is so that your board can responsibly look at planning for the upcoming year. And that includes, of course, budgeting, which we will do based on the numbers that you bring to us. So we don't have a lot of room in the budget that we look at we really need a certain amount, but we know that you always come up with that. We always do a good job on that. But what you can see is that we have to also have income that is in addition to the offering plate. So when you support the other things we do, you are doing a really good thing. So when we have a fun gathering here and we come to do the murder mystery dinner or something, that's another way that you help us in terms of keeping our budget aligned and all of that. So thank you for that. The title, the theme, expectation, I thought it was interesting. The quote and the theme of expectation, I think when Tracy was using that quote, because I don't quite agree with the wording of it, that you should have no expectation. I think that our teaching says we should have powerful expectation. And so what I gather from the way Tracy's beautiful, beautiful letter went is that there's a change. There is a way we can peel away that old attitude and change our expectation. And if nothing else, we can learn to give freely and enjoy and not in a burdensome way or not because we're doing it because somebody said we should. I do like that she used that idea, though, that it's not just about getting stuff. You know, that we don't, there were people, especially when the movie The Secret was first put out, people that got excited about coming into our teaching because they wanted to get all that stuff. And so that's what we're referencing when she says, when she's talking about the way her expectation changes. But we're looking today at a view of expectation from Ernest Holmes as well as Vittoria Papke. And last week I talked about Vittoria Papke. Our social hall is named after her. She was the personal practitioner for Dr. Ernest Holmes, who created this teaching. And I found this short, powerful little quote in that little book that we're studying on Mondays. The Joy of Being. The Joy of Being. You can pick up that little book for $2.50 at the bookstore if you're interested. And here are just a short sentence of what she says that I think is the most important thing we can take today. If we do not expect, it is only wishful thinking. if we do not expect, it is only wishful thinking, and we are so much more than just wishful thinking. We teach that there are spiritual laws that are designed for us to live in the pattern and the rhythm of, and when we align ourselves to the way life works, our life changes in a really natural and organic way. And so just as we see in nature, things work, and you plant a seed. I love the orange because the orange is a piece of fruit. This is such a good example of how I can hold in my hand this orange, and I don't know how many seeds are going to be in this little orange, but what we know, I mean, we could count them. We could count how many seeds are going to be in this orange, but you cannot count how many oranges will be produced from a single seed. And that's the way life is. That is what's true about this life that we're living and the way that we're focusing on seeding our future. Because what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? So we're setting intention, we're seeding our future. Of course, we want the church to be here for years and years to come, and we want to be thankful to the founders that paid off the mortgage for us. But it's more than that. What I really want to drive home this morning is that it's more than a building. It's us. It's spiritual community. It's the way that we create sacred space when we come together, that our worship is prayer and song, that we meditate together, and that we have this sacred place to do that. We have this beautiful sanctuary. We have a lovely family room, a lovely social hall. But we, more important than that, we have a teaching that specifically affirms healing and prosperity in every way. So you come here for healing the mind, the body, and the soul. We come here to nurture relationships. Some of us come here for companionship. Some of us come here so that we can be a part of something that's bigger than we are, to be uplifted or inspired when we're feeling challenged by the stuff that's going on in the world. So there's a lot more than just supporting a building. We are supporting a consciousness. We are supporting our spiritual community of which we are a part. This is a life, and we are a part of this life. So we teach principles, spiritual principles. We offer practical skills for everyday living in a beautiful way. And it's all about the orange. It's all about the seeds and the seeds of our future. You know, when we look at the business of church, we always say, you start by asking, what is your product? What's the product? We have to have marketing, right? What is our product? Well, our product is simply this, a changed human life. You know what we do here? We transform lives. We come together to pray and have fellowship and to remind ourselves of greater truths. And I will personally admit that I come here for recipes and book titles. I want to know what you're reading. I want to know where you went on vacation so I can have a little vicarious experience of that. And most important, I need to know what's current on Netflix. So thank you for keeping me well informed on those things. But isn't that a part of spiritual family? That and so much more, things that we couldn't even really name. Hugs, yeah, we come here for hugs. So we want the center to prosper, and our work is keeping this space sacred and having this opportunity to secure our future, to seed our future, know what we want, and we're going to fill this tree with 50 leaves or more. And they're each going to have names on them, and we're excited about that. Thank you, Miss Dorothy. So expectation is not wishful thinking. You know, it's a real budget. We're not wishing. We're expecting that we live in this reciprocal universe, that as we do our good work, that then we are given that which we need to sustain us, that and more. So the first thing, there are three things I want to talk about the orange. One is the seeds. You can count the seeds, but you can't count how many oranges will come from one seed. The second thing is that I thought it's a piece of fruit, and it immediately reminded me of the fruits of the Spirit that are spoken of in the Bible in Galatians, I think it's the 5th chapter. And the fruits of the Spirit are it's the evidence of the good work you do, spiritually speaking. So it's listed in a number of ways, depending on what translation you read. But it's love and joy and kindness and goodness and mildness and self-control and any other quality of God that you might add to that is the fruit of the Spirit. So I would like you right now to look at your orange and assign it a fruit of the Spirit. Let it be peace or love or joy or whatever it means to you. But you're going to name it with an intention of expecting to be aware of that quality of God in your own life this week. I think that as we look at the fruit as that way that you know that the next crop of oranges is right here. Right here, the fruit is always the seed of the next crop. As we begin to look at it that way, we see that this is a beautiful example of the abundant nature of life itself. So we learn that, because I Googled, so we're going to learn this, that the average healthy orange tree will produce 200 to 350 oranges in a season. The average healthy orange tree. Now, the farmer who has the orange orchard knows, he studies what he does, or she, they work, that he or she, they work at what they're doing, they perfect what they're doing, and they can get twice as many oranges off the same tree. Because they're taking their expectation, combining it with their knowledge, and then using it as a model for what's possible and creating healthy orchards and with lots and lots of fruit. So I also learned that you can start an orange tree on your own from a seed, but if you did that, it would take about 15 years before it would produce fruit. Might even need a little help. Or we propagate. So propagating is when you take a cut from the parent plant and that then becomes its own plant. And I think that these are really good terms for us to look at because we are always in our life, in the living of our lives, we are always seeding, either intentionally or unintentionally, we are always seeding the next possibilities that will sprout up as our harvest. And therefore, we are also always propagating ideas, the things that we think, the ideas that move through our mind, because that's the way the spiritual laws of creation work. And so if you want to plant seeds of possibility, we want to be intentional about what we're going to plant. We want to be healthy and prosperous and big in what we imagine is possible for us in the future. We want to propagate lots of creative ideas and lots of ways we can serve in the year to come and lots of fun things we can do together. And we thereby are intentionally participating in our own well-being. Because this is how all things come to be. This teaching symbol behind me represents the triune nature of God, and we call that the creative process, and the easiest way to know it is seed, soil, plant. Seed, soil, plant. You got a seed, all things come from that seed, that potential, creative potential that is unlimited, that is comes from this inexhaustible supply, this givingness of God. There is always the seed. We are always also seeding our own lives. Our own thoughts are creating our own reality for us. So we have this way in which we plant seeds in this fertile soil that will accept whatever we want to plant in it, and then we produce that plant. Seed, soil, plant. That's the way it works. And so what is it that we want to propagate? What is it that we want to seed in our future? And again, I would say that, you know, it's not just about having more people in the pews, so to speak. Right? It's not just that we want to spread the word and have, I want us to have 150 people in here one Sunday at least before I retire, which is not dated. But take a breath. That would make me so happy, and if it wasn't for Dr. Ken, you know, if it was just for us. We had 150 people here hearing a message that is so powerful, that is so valuable, that can inspire, that can bring hope to us when we are walking through our difficult challenges or when we see a world that sort of weighs heavy on our shoulders. There are things we can do. So, you know, our teaching is like, that's what our teaching is. We're not here to save the world. We are here creating a new world. The culture of the world is changing worldwide. There, something new is emerging, and we are a part of that. Vitura Papke also said this in that little booklet. You can change any undesirable condition or experience that has resulted in your life from your previous choices. As long as you expect to receive what you desire. Absolutely. As long as you expect to receive what you desire. You see, we're talking about these spiritual laws are everywhere present for us to witness. The law of circulation, the law of reciprocity, the law of mental equivalence, the law of attraction. We see these things being mirrored to us throughout nature, throughout life, and certainly in our own lives, in our relationships, and in the conditions in our lives. So as we learn to use these principles, as we become brazen enough to expect these prayers to be answered and our desires to be fulfilled fully in a way that works for everybody, we are helping the world to become a better place because we do believe in a world that works for all. And it only happens as we do our own work and we change our own lives. So the orange is a great symbol for prosperity. But there's one final thing I wanted to talk about, and Julianne mentioned it when she was speaking to you earlier, and that's this bitter rind on the outside. You know, before you can eat this fruit, you have to peel away the bitter rind. But even as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about, how delicious it would taste. So you know, go with me on this journey for a moment. You know, if you want to get into this orange, I'm probably going to put my thumbnail in it first. And I'm going to make a little opening, and then I'm, you know, and I like to smell it, because there is a burst of scent, this citrus scent that is very distinct that comes as you're peeling the bitter rind off the fruit, and you're getting ready to eat it. And I know already that it's going to get some of that white, the stuff between the orange and the rind, you know, the white tissuey stuff. It's going to get in my fingernails. I can already feel it. Can you feel it in your fingernails? I can. And then I know that once I get the skin all off, I get the bitter rind away from the orange, I'm going to split it open. And then I'm going to start taking the sections of the orange apart. And then what's going to happen? It's going to get juicy, right? So there's these beautiful sections in the orange, but I also know I need a towel. You know, when you guys bring me grapefruit, my most favorite citrus, I like to eat it over the sink. I like to peel it and eat it over the sink so that it can be messy and drip, and then I can clean up right there. And I want you to know I have actually done that at church in this kitchen. Because that's the way you enjoy it. That's the way I enjoy it, right? And so you open it, and then it's such a great reward. You put it in your mouth, and you chew, and it's this burst of flavor. Can you feel it? Can you taste it? Can you smell it? Yes, of course. So you have to get through the rind. You got to get through the orange peel in order to have that sweetness, that pleasure, that reward. So as we look at it in the way that Julianne was speaking at it, that we peel away the old attitudes. That's what we're looking at. Because a lot of people have old attitudes about money. I think that, you know the thing about New Thought is we attract people that have been to other churches and they had some bad experience and they come here and they don't want that bad experience because we're pretty good about not laying guilt on you and not making you feel bad like you got it. Better save yourself from going to hell. You know, we don't have that theory here. So people come, but sometimes you bring your baggage and then you read your own ideas into things like tithing. And I just want to refresh that. I want us to peel that all away so that you realize you tithe because it gives you joy. You tithe because you want to support this community. You tithe because you want to be able to come sit in one of the conversation circles or come meditate with us or attend a Sunday service. And so it doesn't matter what you give. What matters is that you give in joy. If we don't give in joy, then we're still attached to it and we're not participating in the natural law of circulation, in the way that giving and receiving has to go together. We know that. You can't just give, 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 give. You sometimes have to let people give to you. Yeah, if you don't believe me, ask Cerise. She had a recent lesson on receiving. That she learned it the hard way. So here's what I know for sure. What I know for sure is that when a farmer plants a crop, the farmer is very clear of what he or she wants to harvest when the next season comes. And so if the farmer wants to do corn, raise corn, sell corn, whatever, then the farmer plants corn seeds, right? It's logical, it's easy. You know, it's a simple law that we can see. Seed, soil, plant, voila, you know, you get the harvest. And so I want us to, as we look at seeding our own future, I want us to be really clear about what is that crop that we desire to harvest. And don't forget, next week we always have the third Sunday of the month is when we do our family meeting. And that's where you have an opportunity to talk to us or give us information about what you would like to see happen in our community in the upcoming year. So next Sunday, after the service is complete, we'll move into the social hall, into Papke Hall, and we'll create a way for you to contribute your ideas and to ask us questions and see what's going on. Oh, I'm so grateful in dining with the dudes because nothing's better than good food on family meeting day. Thank you. That is a surprise to me. I'm so happy. Thank you. I know. We eat all the time here. We have a fabulous food consciousness here. We really do. Yes, absolutely. So let us join in clarity so that we are really clear that we are planting seeds for our future. We are planning ahead for this upcoming year, and we know that just as we peel this orange with expectation, we plan to taste the sweetness, and we desire to taste the sweetness of all the activities we're going to partake in together next year. And so I want to invite you to come play with us. Come sit in one of the book study groups, or take the little booklet home and read it on your own so that we can all be on the same track as we're looking at this idea of creating a prosperous future for us. Come pray with us. Come meditate with us. Join us for the family meeting. Take advantage of these beautiful services we have, like the Tize service. There's so much going on here. The classes, the workshops, there's just always sweetness coming and offered. And don't forget, there's good recipes. Thank you, Evie. and there's good Netflix to know about and good books to read, and that's always changing, and we network in community to stay on top of all of that. So I want to close this morning, before I eat my orange, with a quote from Ernest Holmes on expectancy. Dr. Holmes says, "There should always be a sense of joy in this work." Don't you love that? There should always be a sense of joy in this work. Have a feeling of enthusiasm as well as conviction and a warm mental expectancy. A warm, alive, active, a warm mental expectancy. For when we do, it will deepen our spiritual awareness.